What's good? We go by the names of Night Stalker and LaFirst, and you're now listening to King Killer, Kurt G, and Nee Green, and the Hip Hop Digest Show.
Digest Show.
Digest Show.
Digest Show.
Digest Show.
Oh? Oh?
You got something against Ober?
I knowed him since he was a pickaninny. Hired his old daddy many times.
I didn't tell me anything.
Well, he got educated, see? Then he come down with a raging case of that new social disease, black power.
Is that all?
Now look, hold on just a minute. I believe in equality just as much as anybody. But I don't want it forced, don't want it forced, don't want it forced, don't want it forced.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
And it's Ezo Grigio. What up?
What's goody?
Happy recording day.
Happy recording day.
Happy recording morning.
Happy recording morning, Mr. Keurig. Where's the fur baby at? I don't see him.
He in the other spot. He was doing too much wiggling around this morning. I was like, yeah, bro, you're going to have to go over there.
Okay, that's what's up. All right, gentlemen, do we got any leftover things we want to address from last week? No, yes, maybe.
Not really. I mean, I guess for an update, if we want to keep everything 100 for an update on the mixtape, we are going to be voting on those joints today after the show. So we will be voting on the ones that we're going to keep and the ones that we're not going to be on the show, on the joint. So that's how we're going to do it.
Artemis said they're going to do a revolt mixtape of leftovers.
Oh, that's what's up. That's what's up.
All good.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear it.
Them niggas, they don't know what they're talking about. These is the hot joints.
Exactly.
I just show mixtape remix.
Exactly. Yo,
mixtape reject.
Exactly. And just the thing, I done told these niggas, this ain't no label, this ain't no budget, shit.
Take that.
You know what I mean? Shit. So. But anyway, that's what's up, yo. Let's get right in, yo. First topic on the Hip Hop Digest. You know, remember the longtime listeners should remember the phrase, "Don't tell me about no motherfucking Diggy Simmons."
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Don't tell me that motherfucking Diggy Simmons is back.
Diggy Simmons is back.
Oh boy.
Diggy Simmons is back. Well, Diggy Simmons presses the reset button on his rap career. There are plenty of reasons why artists fall out of fame. But for hip-hop royalty, Diggy Simmons, now 23, making a hip-hop comeback from his hiatus was caused by a rabid need for perfection. According to Diggy, he wasn't perfect enough, so he put the mic down for a little while. Diggy, the fourth child of Reverend Run from Run DMC, and the nephew of Russell Simmons, according to the article, always had bars, but he always wasn't putting those bars on display.
What are you talking about? Alcohol bars?
Chocolate bars?
What?
According to the article, they're talking about lyrical bars, my son.
Wow.
According to the article, Diggy Simmons' trajectory started strong, securing a 2011 XXL freshman spot and then following with his debut album in 2012. Now, let's go ahead and do some history. I was always saying that there's no way they weren't going to put Diggy on anybody's cover. His dad is Run. His uncle is Russ. There's no way, you know.
Nepotism.
Well, I mean, come on, man. So, you know, got again, like one of these, once again, these rich kids, you know, following in daddy's footsteps. I get it. Your boy Diggy decided to leave the spotlight after him himself decided he wasn't good enough, or at least his bars wasn't perfect enough.
All right, he's answering our question.
Okay, all right, well, but while not making music, Mr. Simmons had a hand in acting and fashion. So again, you know, it's like, damn, he doesn't really have to get a regular job. Oh, fuck, I'm gonna just start acting and put out a fashion line real quick.
I can't hate on the kid for that though.
Nah, hey, I'm not.
I'm
not going to hate on him, and he got those. He's got the resources to do it. He's like, yeah. They like Will Smith kids. They got the resources behind him to do whatever. So I ain't mad at him for that. And I'm also not mad at the fact that he said he recognized that he wasn't good enough, that his bars was not good enough.
No, he didn't say that. He said the bars weren't perfect.
Okay.
No, he didn't say that.
Okay, if we're mincing hairs here, okay. He recognized his bars weren't perfect.
Words in his mouth.
Okay, his bars weren't perfect. Okay, he recognized that. And I will give him this much credit. He did rap a lot better than the niggas that was rapping at that time.
Well, now isn't that the truth? I was going to say, I don't want to hear nothing about no motherfucking Diggy Simmons, but, boy, since Diggy left, boy, the train is totally off the tracks.
Well, ain't no revisionist history. He was still trash. Sorry.
On our scale, yes. But okay. As far as rap scale, commercial rap scale, he was definitely pretty high grade.
Okay.
So you'll be interested to know that he is now re-entering the rap game with a new single as of dropping yesterday and a new album shortly thereafter that. Diggy Simmons, the new record is called Tis What It Is with a new video. Now, very interesting. There's no beat. Okay. He's not exactly on the New York. Who's the group that made Spread Love?
Take Seven or
Take Six?
Like
Take Six. Yes,
okay.
It sounds right. It sounds like Take Six mixed with the little gospel choir singing. Oh, he's in and out of the church. Ain't no question about it. Dropping the Lord's name. Now, Reverend Runt, he's probably raised in church, so he's not doing a lot of trapping. You know, but he's in and out of the church and showing different things. The spotlight is squarely on Diggy, okay? There's no trap beat. It's a very interesting New York style where it's no beat. Now, you got to probably give some credit to Russell and some other people who were trying to get ahead of the curb. They would have normally introduced Diggy on just a regular trap beat, which makes Diggy regular
London on the track.
So, but this is no beat. It's not New York. Like I said, it's Take Six blended with a gospel choir. So, and Diggy is rhyming. So, you know, you gotta.
So he's rhyming. You said he stepped his bars up then.
I'm putting
the spotlight on you right now. Compared to what he used to be, did he step his bars up?
Diggy's rhyming. I didn't study the bars. I'm not going to be qualified to say whether if he raised his bars, but you see a more mature Diggy. Of course, he got his shirt off in the video. You know what I mean? They're going to put the sex symbol thing out there, too. He's his shirt's off in the video. But Diggy's rhyming. And in comparison to what is really popular.
Can I ask you a question,
though? My man.
After I hear this song, can I tell you something about a motherfucking Diggy Simmons?
Nah, you can't tell me nothing about Diggy.
Oh, then see.
He didn't step his game up.
No, it's not that. It's not that. I'm always going to have something against children of guys. Like, again, like Will Smith kids, Runt's kids. Yeah, the kids of icons who, you know, real talk, unless you are totally reinventing or bringing something totally into the culture, you are always going to be the son or daughter of blah blah blah, whoever your iconic papa or mother is in the culture.
Chris Rivers. I'm getting ready to say that, but you read Chris, my mind. Chris Rivers is the what exception to the rule.
Chris Rivers, right? But look at what Chris Rivers is doing, though.
Okay.
See,
okay.
Chris Rivers is doing it on a total different launch pad. See, because I guarantee you that young Chris Rivers didn't have the resources or the money to go do acting or some Pottery Barn shit, you know, while he fucked around and decided to get back in the game.
Damn, son. every pottery week stuff. You get me some shit. Fucking pottery barn and shit, nigga.
I'm saying, B.
Put shit in a kiln.
This nigga sitting around making coffee mugs.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly. I mean, come on, man. Come on, man. You know? And, I mean, just think about this, yo. Let's just juxtapose for a minute, yo. You know? Fucking Hove and B. Their kids. What if she wants to start rhyming? I mean, how ridiculous is that going to be?
She's going to start rhyming.
And she's going to start making pottery barn shit. She's going to do whatever the fuck she wants to do.
Designing purses at 10 years old.
Because her name is Blue.
Well, now, see, but you could see her designing purses at 10 years old, and it's going to go over big. You know, that's one thing. But I'm talking about, again, getting out here and trying to MC. So, yo, but, hey, word is born. I'm not player hating on the level, because shout to Diggy. I would say that this particular recording is better than his past recording. It's just a single, but it is better. So I'll give him that.
Oh, shit. You done came up on King Killer's fucking radar. All right. You done made it, young man.
All right. That's what's good, yo. Shout. Next up, we're going to Hip Hop Digest. This rapper's doing good. This is a rapper doing good.
Shit, now you not no counting your mouth?
No, this is rapper's doing good. Ludacris pays for a woman's groceries. A woman by the name of, and I'm going to fuck this up, I'm just letting you know right now. A woman by the name of Tierra Gwen Jeremalo. Now, if that is how you really pronounce it, I did it good, but I doubt it. Anyway, she was at the checkout line at the Whole Foods store in central Atlanta and said that she had a gift card to buy her groceries and, you know, got a little happy and the groceries, you know, was more than the gift card.
You in Whole Foods, nigga.
Yeah.
That shit's expensive.
Ain't that the truth? So she said while she's waiting in line, you know, she was thinking about her husband. She lost her husband to brain cancer in 2014. Said she really hasn't been focused and right since then. It's been a long recovery. But anyway, but that's her backstory. So she's going over too much for the gift card. And two, the person in line behind her, the groceries got mixed up. So that person happened to be Ludacris. But she didn't know it was Ludacris at that time. Ludacris basically paid for her groceries, paid for his groceries, you know, made sure she got to her car, did the whole thing, and bounced. The cashier later told her, you know, that was Ludacris, right? And she was like, that man is an angel, was giving him all kinds of praise in an interview with CNN. CNN attempted to reach Ludacris for a further comment. They could not reach him. Rapper's doing good.
Can I fuck this story up?
Whoa.
You about to fuck it
How
up?
How can you fuck this up? And
I'm
you
about to fuck this
hold
story up,
B.
Oh, wait, no, let him fuck it
okay.
up.
Okay.
Let him fuck
go
it
ahead.
up.
No, go ahead.
No, fuck this story up.
No, I'm just saying.
Fuck this story up.
Here, yeah. E Color.
I want to fuck this story up.
Nah, B, you just be prepared. E Color, he's known by many names. Trapper John MD, Dr. Smokeout, all kinds of different names. They gonna know you as Scrooge McDuck when you fuck this up. Now go ahead.
I ain't worried about that. I'm just saying. I'm about to pull a Kurt G.
Oh.
So, looking behind the curtain, I'm listening to you, and I'm definitely about giving people to do good things credit. You know that, right? So, first thing with the story for me, you get a gift card, right? Let's say that gift card is $200, right?
That's okay. What's wrong with that?
You in Whole Foods, you buy four packs of meat, you at $200. So, how are you overspending your fucking gift card limit? First of all. Second of all, I do give respect to her husband in that whole situation. God bless, right? Okay, then the other part. The food gets mixed up. Ludacris is behind her. Is that what you just said? Food
right.
got mixed up?
Right.
Okay. So Ludacris is behind her. So he's paying for both hers and his.
Right.
His bags are going to get packed after hers because he's behind her. Right?
Okay, well, right, I'm just saying, but that's the cashier.
I'm fucking the story up just for the sake of fucking the story.
Okay, no doubt.
So he's behind her, but he leaves before her, and the checkout person say, "You know that's ludicrous."
No, she didn't know who. First of all, she didn't know that was ludicrous, and only after ludicrous paid and all of that shit, the cashier identified it as ludicrous.
So did the cashier go run and catch the girl and say, "Hey, that was ludicrous. Pay for your shit."
I don't know nothing about that, B. That wasn't.
I'm just saying, B. There's a lot of holes in that story, and I hate fake ass stories like when either T.I. and James Brown pulled that save a man's life type shit. I don't like that shit, and this doesn't feel right to me. It could be a great story, but it don't feel right to me at all, B.
What I like about the story is this: the fact that Ludacris did not put the story out himself.
No, he
this
did
is
not.
This is the cashier, and this is CNN coming in, and just because it was Ludacris making a story.
How did CNN know?
Because the cashier said Ludacris was in the store, and they got video footage of it.
Did the cashier call CNN?
Probably not.
But none of what does that matter? The point is,
I just don't like made up stories, B.
You don't know that it's made up. The cat, he just up. Yo, B. He paid
That's my conspiracy brother over there.
I don't give a fuck. James Brown talked the nigga off of some shit to save his life. T.I. did the same shit, and it was contrived. It was made up. And I don't like that shit. I don't like it.
Dang.
I said the other week when there was a rapper, and I forgot. Adonis, my son, told me the name of the rapper, and I'm going to put it out there just to say that that's some real shit. You know what I'm saying? He was out here getting gas for motherfuckers or whatever, but this shit... When last time Ludacris been in the news?
Well, I was going to comment on Ludacris.
He hasn't been in the news.
He hasn't been in the news, but the point I'm saying, because Ludacris is a cat who has put it on heavily for Atlanta. And the total disregard and disrespect for somebody who put it on as heavily as he did for Atlanta, to me, is noteworthy. Because I always thought that Ludacris sort of was... putting it on way too heavy for Atlanta, that they did. Atlanta didn't deserve it. Now, I know he had to do what he had to do for his rap career. I get it. But I'm just saying, you know, ain't none of these little niggas from the ATL talking about Luda now. And they barely talking about the other gods out of the city. But, you know.
T.I. is buying up the city for the city. So... And he is in the news doing all that. But, okay. So
he's in the news. He's in the news for other shit, too. Dumb shit.
Of course.
Drunk in public. Dumb shit.
That's Clifford.
So.
He's going to do that.
Okay. Oh.
T.I. versus Tip, remember?
they never really fully accepted Ludacris because he is not a homegrown Atlanta kid.
And see, that's Cincinnati. There you go. And that's what I was going to get to. I was like, yeah, because he really, really wasn't from there, but he did put it on heavily. And he is one of the he's one of the linchpins, the reason why these niggas from Atlanta is still on point now. And how ungrateful.
But they're not like him, though.
Right.
They're moving away from that story. These rappers that are current and recent are not like Ludacris, because at least Ludacris was spitting.
Right.
Real.
Ludacris was spitting. He, no matter how much pop shit he put out there, he was fucking spitting. He had skills. I will put that on for Ludacris, and that's rare out of the niggas you've heard coming out of Atlanta on a commercial level.
No doubt.
Was some shit like that, because ever since Outkast, how many niggas you heard spitting it commercially besides T.I.?
Very few. So
big up to Ludacris if that story is real. If it's not, then get the fuck out of here.
Ludacris, rappers.
I'm gonna say it's real. But the way you framed it, it does sound a little suspect. But I'm gonna give it a real nod.
Okay.
Rapper's doing good.
Don Lemon.
I like Mike.
Oh. 45 up in here.
Isn't that some funny ass shit? That nigga was like, fuck LeBron. I like Mike.
Damn. Well, real quick, since LeBron did open that school, Mike has shoveled out a little $7 million thing for some other shit. So he's still trying to beat LeBron, but I'm not going to get into that Chris Lehman, Brothers Lehman shit. Fuck Michael Jordan.
Ah, there you go. See, I was waiting for that. Come on, but you got to be honest, yo. Jordan off that nut shit.
Yeah, he is. He is, B. Always has been.
Which is why 45... said what he said.
I like Mike.
Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest, an 11-year-old girl becomes the youngest female rapper ever to land a major record deal.
How old?
11.
11.
Yes, I believe it is Aaliyah High, an 11-year-old rapper taking social media by storm with her lyrical wordplay. Can you believe that? I watched some Instagram clips. I don't know about that, but she recently became the youngest.
On the gram.
Yeah, they recently became the youngest rap artist to sign a major label deal, according to XXL. Now, I don't know how true that is, but okay, let's say it's true. Aaliyah, a.k.a. Lele, signed a record deal with Empire. Empire, a San Francisco-based independent distribution and recording and publishing company, has forged a strong arm in the music game by offering non-traditional contracts to recording artists.
The Cookie Lion's behind that?
Well,
I was about to say, Lee Daniels ain't shut that down?
No, I was thinking that myself, but no. So there's a picture of her in the Atlanta Empire offices with the Empire rug and the whole thing. And her dad has got her all over Instagram. And 11-year-old, literally, over trap beats talking about, and I'm trying to remember her line, something about, I want 100 bands with 100 vans and some other shit she was saying. I mean, I found it non-remarkable other than a cute 11-year-old girl who's bubbling over trap beats. That's what's selling. Congratulations to them. I know her dad can't wait for the checks to start rolling in.
He better hope that they're not recoupable. That's what he better hope. They better hope they're just free and clear.
I just, maybe it's this hangover I got from last night. I don't know, but I'm just feeling grouchy as shit. 11 beats?
11.
Trap beats?
Trap beats.
100 bands?
She said.
100 bands?
She said she put something else in front of vans, but it was like, I want 100 bands. And then I won 100 something else. And then she said vans. But I was just like, wow. And you know, what's that money shit with the slapping the palm shit?
Them, can she it was rain or some shit?
Nah, gee, what's this shit that...
I'm out the game.
Nah, them niggas with the money phones at the strip club and they slap the top of the money
making
stack.
It rain?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's she, making it rain.
Yeah, okay, she's doing that shit in the whip, you know.
King Killer has never made it rain.
Obviously, he's never made it rain. I will make it rain pennies all day.
Nah, because, I mean, shit, in my wallet, it ain't that thick, you know, and a slap, maybe two slaps, I'm a finished.
I told you I'll make it rain pennies all day, nigga. Who won them battles?
Shit.
Anyway.
Yeah, in Vegas, that's a nickel machine. What's up?
Is that exploitation?
Yeah. I mean, to a certain extent, definitely. Well, I mean, there's a long history of that, especially in commercial rap. You know, I think it just reminds me of, and I think Raven Simone was younger than 11 when she was up there with that motherfucking black hat, you know, standing with her arms folded, looking grilly. I think Raven Simone was a little younger than that, but I could be wrong. Somebody have to check the facts on that.
I do not recall, but Ronald Reagan style.
This is what I get out of the story, son. They got you back here quoting this 11-year-old lyrics. Like, she is the god Rakim. You quoting her talking about bands and vans. Money and shoes.
B, the point I'm saying is that the person who's writing the article is gushing over this 11-year-old like she is so cute. I mean, she is really adorable. Yeah, you know what I mean? That type of shit. And I'm like, you know, she's 11. By the time she hits, you know, 13, it's over. You know, and...
Her career's done?
Her career is done. You know, I don't know. And her pop is juicing the shit out of that. You know what I mean?
Spent all the money?
I hope not. I mean, so...
Well, let me ask you this, though. Because, you know, Special Ed, LL, and others... Mobb Deep came in around 15, 16. Is that a better look to hold off to like 15, 16?
Well, the point is that you're doing this. Is this actually viable for the future? Okay, now no one could have said LL Cool J was going to do what he did, or Mobb Deep, or Criss Cross, or any of these other people. I mean, who knows? You know what I'm saying? Is she going to grow up to be the next Nicki Minaj? You hope not. You hope for something better. She's not standing on a musical foundation. She's just a cute little girl who a label was saying, we could sell the shit out of that. And people online like it, like, you know, cat videos and shit.
That's what I was going to go down that road and say that's what it is. It's basically like a fucking cat video. Basically, they're just something, the next trending topic. They love it. They see her. They're like, yes, yes, yes. So they better put it out very, very quickly, or it's just going to be like a splash in the pan.
There you go.
Good luck to the, good luck to her and her pop. You know what I mean? So that's the next topic on the Hip Hop Digest. This is sort of a complicated topic, and I was thinking about not doing it, but you know, fuck it. Here it goes. Rap is an art, so why do some in academia feel as though they have to defend it? Now, there's a couple of players in the game. Now, key thing is rap is an art. So keep that in front of you. Somebody by the name of Jessica Cologne. Is that your girl, Swerve?
No, that's not
Jessica. Okay. Anyway, a girl by the name, well, not a girl, but a woman by the name of Jessica Cologne, an assistant professor at the State University of New York. Okay, she's the first player in the game. So she's the professor, I guess, of hip-hop studies at this particular university. Second player in the game is a gentleman by the name of Antonio Diego, a Democratic congressional candidate for New York's 19th district. And what makes Mr. Diego significant is that he used to be, in his younger years, a one-time rapper going by the name of A.D. The Voice. Okay, non-remarkable cat, but gotta hold that in front of you. And the third player in the game is a gentleman by the name of Gerald Benjamin, who was appointed an associate vice president for the regional engagement and director at the Benjamin Center of said college, S-U-N-Y, in New Paltz. He was named to that position in 2008. Mr. Benjamin said that rap was not real music and did not represent the values of rural New York. And these three basically got into an argument in the back and forth. But the gist of the story is, in academia, there is a raging debate on whether rap, hip-hop culture, underscore, is something that needed to be studied at a collegiate level, and do we need to have professors to actually study this art form? Sir, any of you say?
Go ahead, Kurt.
Okay. Well, first off, rap is not an art. Because nobody that's rapping on a commercial level is putting forth art, if you want to say that. Now, MCing, to me, niggas is putting words together and actually thinking about what they're saying. Not trying to make money, just make money doing this shit. So the niggas that's arguing over this shit and saying that rap is not an art and rap doesn't belong out here in the suburban area, he might be right about that. Because in that area, it doesn't represent them completely. But that's not what they're listening to.
Let me pose another question. Go ahead, my man. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Get in.
Well, I'm always going to fall back on that jar of piss with a crucifix in it.
Wow.
That people called art. Rap is an art, but it's also, is the word objective or subjective? One of those two words is what it is, because these young folks, the way they listen to certain things, it is art to them, right? But it's not art to us. So does that mean it's not art? Because it's not art to everybody?
Okay, I got your point. Okay, I got you.
So I think that for it to be studied, it should be studied by people that are actually have historical knowledge of it and are aware of what hip hop, not just rap, but to have a full understanding of what it is to be able to teach it. You know what I'm saying? Versus just I'm going to listen to 400 rap songs, and then you're going to talk about it. That's totally something different, that you're just being a critic. But if you understand the art and what hip-hop is, then yeah, I think it should be taught so people can understand what hip-hop is and what it, and what hip-hop is not.
Now, here's a side note, quick. Just a real quick instant side note. Niggas is getting credits for hip-hop studies in the college?
In a lot of colleges.
Yeah, I know that, but it's just amazing to me that niggas is getting credits for this shit. It's not like some just side class just you just taking for fun. Niggas is actually getting credits to graduate from college.
Well,
hip-hop studies.
My situation with that is that I'm pretty knowledgeable. I don't know everything. But I find a lot of times when I hear and see professors talk about hip-hop, wild inaccuracies.
Well, it's clinical for them.
That's true. It is clinical. See, a lot of this, we lived it. So they think, you know, they're teaching it, but I'm like, what the fuck are you teaching? Because that's not accurate. So and these are professors. These are people getting paid to teach a course. But they don't have sometimes, to me, the general knowledge of hip hop. Also, we
should go down there, march on the schools, get King Killer a job. That nigga doesn't need it. Give it to King Killer. He could teach this class way better than you.
A lot of criticisms of modern rap music is its reference to violence and misogyny. This other professor, an associate professor of the University of Richmond, a scholar of black art who teaches the intersection between rap music and the law, he does.
Black art? You mean like witchcraft?
Well, damn, Black Sabbath.
Well, the scholar of black art. Yeah, exactly. Damn. But anyway, he goes on to say that
Osborne, nigga.
He goes on to say that hip hop or rap music is an art and obviously should be studied. He used the reference, as you used the crucifix and a jar of piss, he used the reference of Johnny Cash, I shot a man in Reno to watch him die. Johnny Cash really never shot no one in Reno to watch him die, but that was part of a didactic story in Johnny Cash record. So he uses that as an example. Also, the thing about that, you know, despite the fact there people, you know, they have huge storehouses of like, you know, I'm trying to think. Oh, I'm sorry. Harvard University and Cornell University had large archives dedicated to the study of hip hop. And then they go into the whole thing. Kendrick Lamar also won a Pulitzer Prize for Damn and this, that, and the third. That's another thing with me as well, too. Is the fact that commercial rap is thriving, fueling this study of hip hop. Say you come from a suburban area or somewhere up in New Paltz, New York, somewhere fucking, you know, shit, they love Eminem up there, I guarantee you that. But short of that, they don't really know anything about the African-American experience. Are they studying hip hop from an African-American experience, or are they studying the whole globalization of hip hop?
It's no different than jazz, right?
Well, jazz has always been the point, counterpoint to any hip hop studies, I find. And I often use jazz as the perfect example. I just find that, I'm like her G. People are actually studying this. There are actual professors out there, but, you know, as well as the Smithsonian, you know, with now you got some real hip hop shit, you know?
Yeah, but at the same time, we got Bun B's out here giving lectures in colleges. What's your boy from North Carolina?
Ninth Wonder,
and more.
KRS-One's been doing it.
Right. And they're attending Harvard and Yale and giving lectures at these high end schools. But I think, again, if it's going to be taught, then it needs to be taught from the full overview of what it is, not just what it is right now.
Right, right.
You should teach the entire history.
Right. I remember, now her name escapes me, but she was in a Southern school, just wild inaccuracies. But I guess she found herself to be only from the Southern perspective, of rap, and I don't know, but I guess ultimately, again, I knew this was a complicated topic, but the overall, would you, or do you, or do we believe that hip-hop is something that needs to be studied at a collegiate level?
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
I do.
That's what's up. I believe that. I believe that the candidates should be more qualified. I mean, if you hear, like you said, a KRS-One or a Ninth Wonder, or you tune in to Primo and listen to him tell firsthand stories, you know, of recording with certain legends and their recording processes and the actual breaking down of lyrics in teaching, what I'm not finding is that you're not doing the... You have to say... You gotta say it. It was the difference when Grandmaster Flash versus Lil Pump. I mean, Lil Pump is not saying, I mean, he's saying something, but what is he saying?
And that would be part of the class. That you'd have to debate all that kind of stuff. But see, here's the thing. For it to be a class nationwide, worldwide, you have to get together the, I would say, legends of hip hop,
right? They
have to create a curriculum,
right? I was going to say that.
Taught everywhere, not just have these wild.
Everybody's doing their own thing. You got to have a different. You got to have a one. You got to have a book. Hip Hop 101. This is your book for this.
Now you're getting down to it.
Yeah, you got to teach it that way from beginning to end. You can then you can start having debates. Don't have debates about who's this and who's that before you even teach somebody the history, because you don't even know about the cats that came before them that were much better than these guys you're talking about now.
Well, that's the key thing. Hip-hop is so counter... Well, the rap music, I can't say hip-hop, but rap music is so counterintuitive because it's so exploitative that you could set up a program at your particular school and then you're teaching hip-hop from a perspective of, you know, from Tupac up.
Right.
From Run DMC up, you know what I'm saying? And you don't have the full measure of the music and the culture as a whole, you know, and how other things, as far as just like I said last week, you know, graffiti, you know, breakdancing or b-boying is if you want to go to the originals, you know.
And DJing.
And it's, exactly. And I was going to say the lead DJing who started all of this, which... Thank you for bringing that up, because that's going to segue me into the next topic. And this is just a topic, it's an informational topic. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest, Forbes magazine put out the top 10 earning DJs worldwide. And I'm not going to name any of them. All of them are what they call EDM DJs, which is...
electronic dance music.
That's bullshit, but anyway. And they are making huge sums of money. And every time, and I see they're going to do this list every year, I think about those who created modern DJing. Grandmaster Flashes of the world, Flowers, PDJ Joneses, you know, the Larry Levans, the Frankie Knuckles, the Ron Hardys. I just, you know, the T. Scotts. I think of all of these, and I can name just many, many more. And, you know, the people in hip-hop, the We Lost, Jam Master J's, and the Rock Raiders, and the DJ Train. But, and don't get me wrong, I'm not feeling sorry for Jazzy Jeff or Louis Vega or any of these guys. They're
getting checks.
They're getting paid. You know, they're not poor. Kid Capri is not poor. Yeah, I'm not feeling sorry for these guys, but boy, from whence the culture, and that's again part of the hip hop studies that again they'll never talk. I guarantee you they'll never talk about that shit in any of these college courses. You have guys on that Forbes list who are fucking dumb millionaires, but you're never going to talk about DJs who actually created DJing as a modern art form that we know today that allows all of these guys, most of them European guys, to get tens of millions of dollars per year. And African Americans and the Latinos and, you know, and truth be told, all the people from our gay and lesbian community who created modern dance culture get no props. So that's just information from King Killer. Ridiculous.
It's very interesting.
Yes,
yeah,
it is. And see there, you just taught a class in itself.
Did I?
Right. Yes, you did.
Right.
Dropping those names.
Naming names. that don't get no credit.
Yeah, indeed.
Whether they're getting checks on the low or not, they don't get credit for these multi-million dollar gigs these cats be getting, and females be getting.
No doubt, no doubt. All right, let's keep it rocking. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest, rap's ascent to bridging the gap brings a whole new money stream to music. And basically, this article is rap's ascent to the boardroom, Wall Street, if you will. Okay, rap has always had the intersection of the traditional. Let's start at the beginning. Maybe it was Run DMC, Adidas. Maybe it was Kango from UTFO who had a deal with Kango. MC Shan, Puma, which he never had a deal, but he put Puma on in large part. All the above, you know, starts at humble beginnings. And then we transition to the liquor years, the St. Ives, if you will, all the way up to Ciroc, you know, and P. Diddy brand and everybody else who had liquor. You know, there's probably too many people to name.
Way too many.
All the way up to now that MCs look for branding partnership first and also have willing Wall Street participants looking for rappers. So not only are the major labels online looking at Twitter hits, Instagram hits, or whatever other new platform out there that the kids is on now, corporate America's looking for it and is looking for active commercial rappers to fill that situation. Now, my point to you, or at least my question to you, is this like stocks? Are we at a high point in the stock of commercial rap and brand partnership only to crash later?
I don't know about that. I think this is just an opportunity. And what it is, it's for corporate. It's not just an opportunity to try to make some money for them. It's not like a stock where it's just going to crash later. This is, it's basically for them, it's just whoever's popular, let's just attach to them and try to make some money off of this shit real quick. And for the rappers out there that's branding themselves first, that I say congratulations and thank you for being smart. Get this money and think about branding and getting the money first. Don't be out here yelling all these fucking name brands in your fucking raps, talking about all these people, bigging them up, talking about Hennessy and all this shit, and you ain't getting one check from Hennessy. You know what I'm saying? Make sure them niggas is cutting you a check.
Well, I happen to think it is like stock, the stock game for companies. I totally agree with you, Kurt, on that point for the rapper or artist or whatever you want to call them for them. Yeah, I totally agree. Get that. Get that if you can get it. But on the other hand, with 4.6 million rappers out here today, you don't know who's going to pop or who's going to flop. So it is a gamble for these companies to attach themselves to any particular rapper. Yeah, and I'm not talking about the top of the line folks. Talking about, again, the clout folks with a million followers, and the company says, oh, let's grab that person.
One particular,
and then they fail.
Indeed. One particular rock critic said that rap is mortgaging their future for current gains. He said that basically in the heady days of rock and roll, they shun a commercial sort of corporate partnership for artistic purity. And he said that served them well later in their career. He said once a particular brand is out of fashion, and yeah, the rappers are getting paid today, but once a particular brand is out of fashion, their career goes with that, you know?
Remember Troop?
Ooh.
Woo. Wow.
Yowza.
I remember Hammer with them saying. Troop suits on, B.
Mm-hmm.
The U-Log too?
Yeah, the U-Log, no doubt. So, and I think he's got a point, and I'm going to be you on this. Yes, it is great for a particular artist, young people out there, guys and gals now, getting all these money from corporate America, Wall Street partnerships, whether it be Coke or Target or whoever. They're all running, and they're picking up guys left and right, you know. But, you know, the minute that brand decides to change course, they're out the whip, you know. So I don't know. I kind of take heed with that Rock guy is saying. Now, of course, the person who wrote the article was saying Rock is player hating ever since Billboard magazine came out with the survey that said rap had replaced rock as America's music. So,
well, it's true.
Facts.
Oh no. Not facts. So,
super facts.
Indeed. So, yeah, this has been more of an educational Hip Hop Digest symposium, if you will. I didn't have a lot of inflammatory topics out there, you know.
Nah, you know, people have been asking us, you know, for some more educational topics. So, hey, here it is.
Indeed. So, all right.
Well, let's not get out yet. Quick question.
My man.
Last night was fantastical for me, so I just wanted to. There was a question that somebody asked earlier about what are some of our greatest moments in hip hop individually, us. So I'm just gonna say right now that last night I actually got a chance to be up close and personal with Rakim. I had never seen him perform in person, and it was amazing. It's a bucket list item, and those, for reasons like that, is what I love hip hop for, because you just never know. About you, Killer?
So, wow, that put me on the spot. I have to say, from a personal standpoint, probably always will be a live concert event. So I got to see most of my heroes live, but standout concerts, no particular order for me, Ice Cube at the 930 Club, at the old 930 Club on M Street, was amazing. Outkast at the new 930 Club was nuts.
Yeah, that was a good night.
You know, Roots 930
always.
Club. Always. I've seen the Roots more than I've seen anybody.
Shit, remember when we seen the Roots before they even was the Roots? They was down at Tower Records, out front of the Tower Records.
Yeah, that's right.
Out in front of that joint.
Yeah, that's before their first record came out. So, I would say Public Enemy at the Capitol Center was crazy, because that was at the height of Public Enemy. But everybody on that bill, see, that's when you went to the show and you saw everybody who was on that bill.
Jeff is cutting. Ugh.
Right, Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince was on that bill. Stetsasonic was on that bill. Obviously, Public Enemy was on that bill. Run DMC was on that bill. So, it's crazy.
Who was that that stopped the show because of the fight? Was that Big Daddy Kane? Or was that Coogee Rap? Somebody was getting ready to perform and a fight with a melee was going on across.
I think that was Big Daddy Kane. Yes, I think I remember that. But that was crazy. I think that was Big Daddy Kane. But that was after, you got to remember, we was in D.C. So that was after the Go-Go set. And then Big Daddy Kane, you know, got on. So for me,
I still got my stubs from them concerts, B.
Oh, I got to check. I think I do, too. So, but all that being said, so for me personally, the events that I've seen live are always, for me, my most memorable. God, how can I forget fucking Meriwether Post Pavilion? Was it Meriwether? When M.O.P. Gangstar and M.O.P. Fucking just, they tore it down. They fucking tore it down, so, you know.
Hell, even Wyclef did. Remember?
Wyclef was drunk.
He remembered he had skills, huh?
Right.
Wyclef was drunk that night. And a pre-white girl, Black Eyed Peas.
Right.
So, you know.
All right, what about you, Curtis?
God damn. After all of that, shit. Pretty much the same thing. Just all the concerts and stuff that I've been to. All the different fest and shit like that that came down over the years. So I'm gonna keep mine short. That's it.
So yes, no doubt. Indeed. I like my man JC, shout to Newark, Bricks City Stand Up. He was like, you know, a lot of this shit you have to have been there, you know, and being there, obviously live in concert, but sometimes also being there and at the time when these things happen, when these things break, you know. So,
I Rock the Bells tour when we were backstage drinking.
That was nuts.
Crazy.
So,
crazy.
So no doubt. So that's what's up. Kerr G, you ready? I'm giving you a leeway.
I'm ready.
Kerr G's world famous albums of the week.
All right. This week we got Klaus Leyer, Lost Track. That's Klaus Leyer, Lost Track. We got the Duz Bros in the Loop. That's Duz Bros in the Loop, or Duz Bros. I guess you could say that, Duz Bros in the Loop. And then we got the instrumental joiners, Skinny Bones and the Godfather of Parisian Memory. Skinny Bones, the Godfather of Parisian Memory.
All right, that's what's up. Anybody got anything left over?
No, thank you for listening.
All right. So that's it. Your E-Color is semi-hungover, just for full disclosure, so.
Oh, yeah, yo. It was crazy last night.
All right, that's what's good. We'll see you next week then. Peace.
All right.
Peace.
One.
Yo, I'm back current. Yep, it's black current. Jazz 3, I keep it flowing. Yeah, I'm that current. So please forgive me if you lose me and ain't with me, cause my style is from the future. I'm a rapper and producer who was stripping half naked melodies from jazz records. I could take a half a minute, splice it down to half a second, shoot a beat out like a weapon. Guess that's why they call me legend. 20 years of my expression turned it into a profession like it's nothing. I tell you, I can do this in my sleep. I could do this in the motor, pull a ways but never cheap. I could do this a cappella. I could do this on a beat. I could do this in the stadium. I'ma do this in the streets, say nada. I'm about to roll six like it's Nevada. Scoop the chips up like a charma. Then I dip without the drama, like I'm slipping in pajamas. And I'm feeling like Sinatra playing Midnight Marauders while I'm sipping on a vodka. How's that for karma? I ain't hurting nobody. Coming on another level, so beam me up, Scotty. I do this for my fans, for my ladies, for my mans, for my crews, for my clans, for reviews, for the grands. And I choose to withstand if it don't serve my brand, cause I'm first in command and my verse is a plan. So what? To make your speakers bump till they blown out. So press play to Black Current Trey, no doubt.
No doubt.
No doubt.
No doubt.
Rappers fall asleep at mics like falling asleep at the wheel. Now there's nothing for the real and everything's for the mail. Now everything's for the bills. No interview for Rolling Stone Mag, Beverly Hills. Be like Taggart and Rosewood, skating wars for thrills. Got a jacket, suppose good, making calls to girls who don't care about your notebook. Lyrics that you have written, memorized so you don't look. I got the best rapport with these promoters who don't book. Now bring the beat back, it's time for me to resurrect this black current heat. Black, I do this with my seat back, eyes closed, feet up, and with a complete lack of regard for cheap tack, too much to keep track. Don't have to prove I'm anything to anyone. So many things already done, so I'm forever 21. I made a trinity of albums by the age of 22. So these older cats were learning what DL already knew. Goddamn, so you could say I'm in another class from these inbox spam rappers. Put them in the trash, cause they expiration passed and they engines out of gas. And when it comes to music, I'ma kick them in the ass, kick them in the abs, kick them out the studio, then kick them in the cab, and kick them out the neighborhood to kick it on the ab. When my beat's on now, so press play to Black Current Trey, no doubt.
No doubt. No doubt. No doubt.
Salad and stock. Fuck the key, I put the barrel to the lock. It's the hard knock. Shorty wants cock, she puts my hand up her front. Don't be shocked, bring Gianna Michaels out the spot. Work of art, that's why she likes to call me Van Gogh. He told me tonight I could be hitting with them sexy features. Dress code's immaculate, I'm the supreme creature. Don't provoke before your luck runs out. I'm the type to take my sneakers off so I can fly. Kick
your fat mouth. Pull it at your spouse, give her some dessert at the house. Petrified with a thick fluid, rolling with a bag of horse. I think before you act stupid. Numerous full clips will make you love the fact that you exist. When you shit bricks, epic linguistics from the crevices of realness. Ill vocabulary can't defy every logistic. This chick's sadistic, use my dick as a lipstick. Shot a load on her Versace, about to go ballistic. I'm calm cause I'm fly like that. When your chaps get slapped, rolled up in a Persian rug, that's a wrap. Wash my hands of the situation and that's that. Try run up on the hoolie, all you hear is kick the door where the stash at. See the logo on my snapback. Last thing you see before it goes black.
Fuck off, I'm done. You fuck off out of here. Get out.
Talking about blues here. Brilliant, millionaire club, share that true spirit. It's few near it and a few that hit it. Lungs moving mirrors and smoke, making it clear for the dope niggas to bust. What? Smoke niggas to blunts and roll splits. Turn you to that roach clip. Burn up, blow big. You would think that I blow wings the way that 4-4 sick. Get up and man, spit. I let her blow the whole like hold this or I get fooled with polygamy. Gobble nuts, the off the ding-a-ling. Evil Knievel ass bitch, the brain. Get my dick out your face, man. Let me dictate, hey, big weight. Birthday, big cake, the big dish. Or the big fish on a gold plate, the six split. Make a nigga feel like he own space. I'm running like my own race and did it my whole life. Damn right, yo.
Everything you did, has already been done. Already been done. Everything you did has already been done.
the scratching, I had just heard like, you know, like really easy, simple stuff. I was like, oh, anyone can do that.
Timid, whack DJ, swat it in my chain. I break your style down, let me demonstrate.
Pardon me, but I'm fucking sick with it.
Underground, down.
Operating with precision of a surgeon's incision.
You'll never have to feel like mine.
Take it to your face, you ain't nothing but a finger.
Scratching is basically moving a record back and forth to create a sound. Now, there's a lot of different forms of scratching.
Yes, y'all, heard the crash of the best, y'all.
DJ, D, fake me, yeah, you ain't going to a tower.
Yes, y'all, heard the crash of the best, y'all.
DJ, D, fake me, the original fool.
When I finish with your face, I'm cheating.
The slower you scratch, the lower the pitch of the sound. The faster you scratch, the higher the pitch. So, and in between there, you have a wide variety of different sounds.
All right, now, step aside, stand clear.
Chins 33, heavy mental for y'all, man.
Come out on that ass, start flipping.
Yeah.
Don't say. I grip the four squeeze. Two in your face, bitch, Victor Ortiz.
People that love music, I think, need to respect our art form and need to understand that this is something that we take serious.
Machine.
So that's basically what scratching is. You know, it's self-expression, it's being able to move the record back and forth, forth and back, and creating rhythms and sounds that otherwise are not there if you just let the record play from beginning to end.
Step back, I resurrect the
best
track. Killer shit, I'm in the
clinic. You DJs with no brakes, I don't want to hear that. DJ Euler.
Bless the ride with the sign of the cross.
But then I saw him and he's like doing all these crazy tricks and all these patterns that some I can't even play on the drums, and I was just like, oh my gosh, I gotta learn how to do that.
Motion picture, analyze the world, flush and hit ya. Dominate scripture, wild black emperor, the best in your perimeter. Rockin' you wild, pray Lord the minister. Sober while I'm sticking ya, and roll a Dutch over Intica. Shorty, I've been ripping up for years now. Goatee smile, on the prowl, my lifestyle. A better yet, my position now to blow you cast like a trap. Smooth criminal from New York to Quebec. Unbelievable respect, Plan X. 22 ways about the projects, but keep focused, direct. Wastelands on the quest, getting deeper than check. We all die, but who's next? And we go again. My enemies, I keep friends. Cause when I want them, I got them and take them rock bottom. And rapid fire, it's you versus I. Hit man fire, blow the world like a live wire.
Cuban connection, flexing, wowing. Sipping Crip style by the gallon. Queen Stallions,
no doubt.
Ice down medallions.
What's it all about?
Ice down medallions. Cuban connection, flexing. Sipping Dawn P by the gallon, Queen Stallions,
no doubt.
Ice down medallion.
What's it all about?
Ice down medallion.
Low clips, holding it down, my gun spit. Crime I deal with, drive a 540 with 10. Yo, nice, hold a strip up on the hill in the brick. Flush the golden kid, wisdom, knowledge, still living. Understand what I'm giving, a wild life to live in while we all driven to sell drugs, young black thugs, and take slugs. Most invincible, getting money's the principle. Every day's an interview. You know who, I'm talking to the best chosen. Laying on 45th and cold and selling drugs to the moaning. Swifter than my opponents, mess around and catch a bonus. My love to Ryan Owens, when you died I wasn't holding. And ever since that day I walk around double toasted with two hosted, wanted posters, bust whatever closest. I die like your man in the black Testarossa. Plus don't give a damn, I'm taking over.
My Cuban connection, flexing, wailing. Sipping Chris down by the gallon, Queen Stallion,
no doubt.
Ice down medallion.
What's it all about?
Ice down medallion. Cuban connection, flexing, wailing. Sipping Dawn P by the gallon, Queen Stallion,
no doubt.
Ice down medallion.
Now pass the hand rock, invest in 30 G's in stock, non-stop.
Cristal popping, drop topping while the feds watching. They on my back, keep me up like Al Pacino or Joe Pesci in Casino. Ten keys up, Perico, and transport state to state. Living great, bust around in Hellgate. Can't escape, money made, regulate. New York City, crime state. And bless the LP track to make an earthquake. Now wait, Desert Storm just like Kuwait. Watch Jake, can't go to jail with no cake. Cause when I come home, I got to live crazy straight.
My Cuban connection, flexing, wildin', sipping Cristal by the gallon. Queen Stallion,
no doubt.
Ice down medallions.
What's it all about?
Ice down medallions. Cuban connection, flexing, wildin', sipping Dawn P by the gallon. Queen Stallion,
no doubt.
Ice down medallions.
What's it all about?
Ice down medallions.
Whoa, whoa. Rolled up.
No,
flush,
that's
off the gas. Flush like that.
Up.
Yo, back up.